verse 1 down through verse 3. Psalm 68, starting from verse 1. The Lord has for us this morning. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 68, starting from verse 1 down through verse 3, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melted before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. In verse 3, but let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we humbly come before the throne of grace this morning. And we're asking for thy mercy and grace and for thy presence this morning, O Lord. And I hope and I do pray, O Lord, that may we learn something, O Lord, out of thy word this morning, O God. Lord, my prayer is do not let us out of this sanctuary today, O God, without receiving thy blessing. If there is somebody, O Lord, this morning that doesn't have Christ in their heart, I pray, O Lord, that may convict sinners, O God, with thy spirit. I pray, O Lord, that may you save them, O Lord. May you save their souls, O God. And I pray, O Lord, that may they learn the truth, O Lord, this morning. The truth that thou art the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father, O Lord, but by thee, O God. Lord, I do pray that may you break their hardened hearts. And may you speak to them, O Lord, and may you penetrate our hearts, O Lord, with thy word. Lord, I pray this morning that if there are people, O Lord, in this church, O Lord, in this sanctuary, O Lord, this morning, that are weak, that are weary, that are tired, O Lord, I pray that may you refresh our hearts, our mind, O Lord, with thy word. I pray, O Lord, that may you revive our hearts, rekindle our hearts, O Lord, with thy fire, O Lord, that cometh from heaven, O God. Lord, bless our service this morning, O Lord, and bless each everyone, O God, and may you be with us, O Lord. Speak to our hearts, O God, once again. And this we ask the most precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, I'm looking at a subject from the first three words that we just read a while ago. Let God arise. The Bible says in verse number 1, let God arise. And I entitled my subject this morning, When God Gets Up. Now, when back in the Philippines, when I was just a little boy, my dad always tells me a story when they were young. And my dad is one of the 13th children, which is pretty big enough for a large family. Then someone said, why do they have some large families back then? Easy. Free labor. Tough times. A lot of you in this church can associate with that. You know what, church? It wasn't like it was today. Nowadays, you can see a young-aged people, a middle-aged people, up to old-aged people. Their time was consumed with computers and all the other stuff that the world has to offer. But back in old days, their time was consumed with their parents. Cleverly coming up with ways to convince you that work was fun. And then they tried to find a job for everybody from the time that you could walk and from the time that you would left the house. And back in the Philippines, I do have a little brother. And after our work is done, and after our chores in the house is done, my brother and I would start victoring. We would start hollering around. We would start cheering. And we'd say something like this, yes, finally we're done. And we can now go outside and play all day long and do the things that we want to do all day long. And if we got too loud that the neighbors could hear it, my dad sitting on his chair across the room would look at us, and that me and my brother would say something like this, don't make me get up. Now I don't know what that means in your household, but that generally means we had a few three times saying, don't make me get up. And when around the third time, dad got up, when dad got up, business picked up in the Dacuyan's household. You know, church, you know, folks, there are times we all know that God is loving. We all know that God is patient, preacher. We all know that God is kind. But there are times in our lives as God's people that God will look at the situation of the enemies. In this passage that we just read a while ago, it was the enemies that have come against God's people. And on the final time, when God said, that's enough, you've been picking on my child now. And when God said that, he got up. And when God got up, things starts to happen. Now when God gets up, listen to me, church, when God gets up, when he arises into our life, in the very situations of each and everyone's life, then things gonna start to happen. Now let's go back to the passage that we just read a while ago. On verse number 1, the Bible says, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. When God gets up, Satan and his followers, our enemies, are cleared out. Amen. Let me repeat it again. When God gets up, rolls his sleeves up, Satan and his followers, our enemies, are cleared out. The Bible says, let God arise, let his what? Enemies. Let his enemies be scattered. I like what King David uses here as an illustration on the preceding verses. On verse number 2, the Bible says, as smoke is driven away. I would like to give you an illustration this morning, an illustration from the Philippines. And so in that case, I could bring you all back into the Philippines. I do have here, so back in the Philippines, we do have a lot of neighbors that they like to burn. I don't know what they're burning. It seems that they're burning a pile of garbages or a pile of leaves with tree limbs on it, or some plastic bags and some trash in it with, and I'm assuming that it probably got some rubber on it that makes the blackest smoke ever was. And when the smoke gets heavy and the humidity gets higher, it just fills up the air. It bothers my breathing. It will trouble your breathing. It will give you a hard time breathing. And right after that, I cannot run into our house and grab a can of air freshener and get rid of the smoke. But rather, the smoke will find a crack, makes its way in, and the odor is there. But one thing this morning, church, I know that could clear out the smoke, the wind. When the wind starts blowing, the smoke clears out. And I know that there's a lot of you people that have come over this sanctuary today, and you feel that the enemy has pressed you on every side there is, and you feel that he's coming at you on every angle there is, but somehow, in some way, when God stands up and rolls his sleeves up, and the breeze of the Holy Ghost starts to blow over this sanctuary today, every enemy that we've got will be scattered. Because you know what, church? The ones that you could do nothing about, sir, ma'am, ladies and gentlemen, God is in control. You may have questions back in your mind and would say, well, I've been suffering. It feels that the devil is chasing me. It feels that he's always at my back every time I serve the Lord. It feels like God doesn't even care no more. But let me tell you, church, that ain't true. God is still always in control and he's still on the throne. Amen.
Amen.
Have you heard about a song? He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his... That song only proves that we're serving a God that's not dead. A God that has mouth that could speak. The Bible says in Psalms, in the book of Psalms, that man have made idols and man have made gods out of wood, out of stones, out of precious metals, with mouth that could not speak, ears that could not hear, mouth that could not talk, eyes that could not see, hands that could not touch. But you know what? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This morning, let me tell you what, church, we're serving a living God, a God that rose up from the grave on the third day. Aren't you glad this morning that you're serving a living God?
Amen.
Church, if somebody says to you that you're serving a God that doesn't care no more, a God that's dead, let me tell you that those things ain't true, because the Bible says he rose up from the grave on the third day and he's up in heaven intercessing for the Father, with the Father. Church, let me tell you this morning, let me remind you that you're serving a living God. When God stands up, Satan and his followers, our enemies, are cleared out. There was a man in the Bible in Mark chapter 5, if you want to look at it, Mark chapter 5, there was a man. The Bible clearly describes this man as a man that has been possessed with demons, a man that's been living to the tomb, cutting himself with stones, living into the far back of the mountains. And because the people are scared of this man, because of the fear of the people to this man being possessed by demons, what did the people do is they tried to bind the man with unclean spirits being possessed with demons. They tried to bind him with fetters and chains. But because of the demons living inside that man, nobody in that place could bind him with fetters and chains. And all those chains and fetters were just broke off asunder. But the Bible says when he saw Jesus Christ afar off, that man ran into Jesus and fell and bowed down at Jesus' feet. Imagine a man
that has been possessed with demons bowing down at the feet of Jesus Christ, that only means that even that man being possessed with demons, he recognized the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
When God gets up, Satan and his followers, our enemies, are cleared out. Church, this morning,
let me tell you, there's nothing sometimes that you could do with the devil. And there's nothing sometimes that you could do with the demons that hounds you. But let me remind you, may I tell you, may I say this to you, that there is somebody when the Lord says, that's enough. You've been picking on my child now. You've been holding him for too long. Let me tell you, when God gets up, he has the power over every devil in hell. Because when God gets up, Satan and his followers, our enemies, are cleared out. When God gets up, storms are calmed. How many of you this morning have been through a lot of storms? It may be physical storms.
You may be facing right now a battle in your spiritual warfare. But all those physical problems and spiritual warfare problems, they all fall into a certain thing and circumstances, and they're all storms in life. But let me tell you, when God gets up, storms are calm. The Bible says when the storm was at its greatest, they woke Jesus up. The disciples woke Jesus saying, Master, Master, carest thou that not we perish, Master? Jesus Christ, Lord, Messiah, do you even care for our lives? Master, can't you see the waves are roaring? Can't you see the ship is being tossed to and fro by the raging waves and the seas of the storm because of the great storm? Jesus Christ, do you even care for our lives? And all that Christ had to do is to arose and speak to the waves and to the raging seas and said, peace be still. And the Bible says, and there was a great calm. When a storm comes to your life, maybe a great storm or just a common storm, but when God gets up, intervenes into the storms in your life, expect for a great calm. It's not just a common calm. It's not just a mere calm that God would give you, but rather a great calm. The Bible says, and there was a great calm. When God gets up, storms are calm. Mm-hmm.
Not only that storms are calm, but when God gets up, sicknesses are cured. There's a man named Jairus. Correct me if I'm wrong.
There's a man named Jairus back in the old days. And this man named Jairus had a daughter. Jairus said to Jesus, come down there lest my child die. And Jesus packed and ready to go and went on his journey. And Jesus went to Jairus' daughter's place. But before he went to Jairus' daughter's place, remember now that Jesus has gotten up, passing by the streets, and there was a woman that leads him on the way. The Bible clearly describes this woman in the book of Mark, this woman that has an issue of blood for over 12 years, that this woman has spent all her living trying out to find a cure, that this woman has gone to every doctor that she knew in town. It may be all her furniture had been sold off. It may be she has searched all the doctors that she knew in town, but still, there is no cure. She can find a cure to cure his diseases. She can find a cure. She can find a doctor that would cure her diseases of, because imagine a lady that has an issue of blood for over 12. Imagine all the pain. Imagine all the sorrow that she's gone through. Imagine all those storms and sicknesses in her life. But when Jesus passes by her way, the Bible says that when the woman touched his garments, the hem of the garments of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says the fountain of her blood dried up immediately. Back in the old days, I believe that there's what we call news bearer. In our times today, the news bearer in the old days would be the newscasters, the news television news or the radio news now in our days. But back in the old days, I believe there are news bearer. Those people that would bear news to the community or to the town that would say, hey, there's a new sale into the store. Hey, there's the governor coming up to this town. Hey, there's a new doctor just coming to the town. And I believe back in that woman's days, in Jesus' times, there are news bearer that have said to this woman, hey, woman, there's a new doctor in town. And this woman that have thought, that have doubt on her mind and can't believe that there's a new doctor in town would have said to the news bearer, hey man, hey lady, hey sir, hey ma'am, can't you see I've spent everything that I've got? I've gone to my bank and withdraw all the savings that I've got. I've sold every furniture. I've gone through the white pages and the yellow pages. I've searched all the doctors that I knew in town, all the physicians, all the person that could cure up the disease, but still there's no cure. And this man or this woman or the news bearer would have said to her, hey, you don't understand, woman. Preacher, Faith Baptist Church, they tell me that this man named Jesus doesn't even charge a dime. Do you still remember the day that you got saved? That Jesus doesn't even charge you a dime? You don't have to draw out a single dollar or a penny on your bank account just to be saved. Let me remind you today, money cannot save you. This government cannot save you. Barack Obama cannot save you. This government cannot save you. And your family ties and associations cannot save you. But there's a man named Jesus that can save you from the place called hell. Amen. And this man named Jesus, you know what he did for you? He's being mocked up by the Roman soldiers, people back in the old days, spat, scorned by the people, beaten up till death. Roman soldiers scourged him to death. Crown of thorns was planted on his head. People spat him on his face. The Bible says he's besotted with smart. You cannot see beauty nor comeliness on his face. Jesus Christ walked outside the city of Jerusalem for a mile, bearing all your sorrows, bearing all your shame. And on the place called Golgotha, the place called Mount Calvary, there he nailed your sins and my sins and our sorrows and our shame. And praise the Lord, to God be the glory. It's all paid in full.
Amen.
Church, let me tell you this morning, you don't have to pay for it. You don't have to climb up the ladder or climb up the highest mountain in this world just to be saved. All you need is Jesus Christ. And accept Him with all your heart and believe in Him and thou shalt be saved. Church, it's not about the wealth of this world. Church, it's not about having a fancy car. It's not about having a high-paying job, but if you don't have Christ in your heart, I'm afraid and sad to say that you are nothing, my friend. You may have all those leisures in life, but if you don't have Christ in your heart, you are nothing and I am nothing. And there is a place called hell that is for sure that when we die, we're going to go there if we don't have Christ in our heart. The Bible clearly describes this place called hell, a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Church, Jesus Christ is the cure. This woman, I could imagine, I could picture, I could portray her in my mind, lying on the floor, trying to grab the hem of the master's garment, and finally, that lady got a hold of the hem of the master's garment. The Bible says, and she was healed immediately. The Bible didn't say that she was healed after a month. Preacher, the Bible didn't say that she was healed after a year. She wasn't healed after a decade, but rather, praise the Lord, glory to God, she was healed immediately. She was healed straightway, and the fountain of her blood dried up. You may have a question back on your mind saying, Lord, I've been having a cancer. Lord, I've been having this problem on my body for a long time. Lord, I've had a seizure. I've had this kind of problems on my body. It's a physical illness, Lord. I cannot do nothing, oh Lord. When are you going to heal me? But let me tell you, church, it's not our own timing. It's not our own timetable. And it's not our own calendar. But let me tell you, it's always on God's perfect timing. Amen.
Amen.
God's perfect timing, that when God gets up, passes by your way, sicknesses are cured. Not only that, when God gets up, sicknesses are cured, saints are comforted. There may be every day, according to the statistics of the world, every day there's people that dies and a baby that is born every day. And as you go from churches to churches, maybe you'll hear, please pray for this family. They just lost their brother, or they just lost their mother, or someone in their family that they really love. Let me tell you, church, when God gets up, saints are comforted. Do you still remember Stephen? There's a man named Stephen in the book of Acts, chapter 7. And this man named Stephen, and the Bible says that he's full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And back in the old days, what the people did is they still stoned him, killed him to death. If all that Stephen could hear was the hatred, the cry of hatred and anguish against his soul. If all could Stephen was see the stones that was beating against him. But instead of all that, God just in time, amen. I believe that God wasn't late when he went to Lazarus' tomb 4 days. I believe that God is always on time, amen. God just in time said, one of the soldiers is coming home today. And Stephen looked into the heavens as the clouds being rolled back as a scroll in the sky. And he saw Jesus standing at the right hand throne of God. I don't know what God is saying. I don't know what Jesus is saying to Stephen. It may be, my child, welcome home. You've fought the fight. You've run the race. You've fought the good fight of faith. My child, you've done everything that you could. Welcome home, my child. Oh, what comfort it brings to the saints. Amen. Amen. That there will be a day coming that when Jesus will return up from heaven, and we as the believers that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. For all the people that have been bought with a price, that would see Jesus Christ, that would descend up on the clouds. And oh, what comforts it brings to the saints. Amen.
Amen.
You know what, church? Let me tell you that we're living in the last days. We're living in a world that gets worse and worse each day. And still people blame all the global warmings. People blame the government for this kind of world that we have, wretched world that we have. But let me remind you that this world that we're living in today it's not in a good shape. Every day that we live here on this world, it gets worse and worse each day. But let me tell you that when the Redeemer shall stand up and would say, that's enough corruption, that's enough death, that's enough sickness as preacher, that's enough sorrow, my church, my child, my son.
Hallelujah.
And we can say, like Job of old, that I know my Redeemer liveth.
Amen. Yeah.
Oh, what comfort it brings to the saints.
Amen.
When God gets up, not only that Satan and his followers, our enemies, are cleared out, storms are calm, sicknesses are cured, saints are comforted. When God gets up, most important message that God has laid on my heart, when God gets up, sinners are convicted. When God gets up, passes by a sinner's way, sinners are convicted. December 22, 2002, when the Lord saved me. Now I was just a little boy, 7 years of age. For that, I was invited, the church nearby our town invited me to come over to Christmas Cantata program. And this church, right after the program is done, the preacher walked down the aisle with a Bible in his hand. Went up the stage, behind the pulpit, laid down his Bible down flat, and started on preaching. At first, on my mind, I thought that this preacher is going to preach about Christmas. This preacher is going to preach about Christ's birth. About Christ came here on earth, about Christ, how Christ is being worshipped by the angels in the manger. But that very moment, that very night, the preacher preached a sermon about hell. Now I was completely wrong. That preacher preached about the sermon about called hell. He preached bombastically. He preached everything that he's got. He preached very fiery, and he gave all his best. I could say that preacher gave all his very best to preach the sermon called hell. And right after the invitation was given, that filthy old rotten sinner sitting at the far back row of the pew stood up, went down the aisle, knelt in front of the altar and said, "Lord, here am I. Forgive me of my sins. I'm so sorry for all the things that I've done wrong that didn't bring glory unto thy name, that brought shame unto thy name. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart." And that very moment, that evening, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart without doubt, without any hesitation. I didn't even regret up till now that I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. But the fact of the matter is, I am happy. I am happy that the Lord has found me that day, that very moment.
Amen.
That's what the song says, when I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. That very moment, church, that night, that certain time, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me make it clear. I didn't look for God. I didn't look for Jesus. But rather, that moment, God had found me.
Amen.
Stooped down, stretched out his arms, and reaches down his hands for me, and got me out of the miry clay. That moment, church, I found the real peace. I found the real joy in my life. People nowadays would say, "We've got drugs, and this would make you real happy. This would make you your life best, and this would give peace and joy to your heart." But that moment, I found the real peace, real joy that you could never find at Walmart, that you could never find elsewhere in this world, but only through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me. Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." For God so loved you and I, thus he sent down his Son Jesus Christ, left all the glories up in heaven, left up the right hand throne of God up in heaven, all those mansions, streets of gold up in heaven, left everything up in heaven just for you and I to die on the cross of Calvary to save us mankind. God didn't came into this world to save the animals. God didn't came up to this world because of the trees of the world, because of the buildings in this world, not because of the mountains in this world. But the reason is because of you and I. We are the reason that Jesus Christ came here on earth and left everything up in heaven. Church, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't have Christ in your heart, it's not yet too late. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. You may say, "Well, brother, you have said it's not yet too late. I still have tomorrow. I still have the strength for next week. I'm still young and healthy, living up my life." But you know, you don't know when death will come to your life. Life is short and death is sure. You cannot escape death, and you cannot escape the contract with death. The Bible says, "As it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment." My friend, you and I has an appointment with death and an appointment with God. You may say, "Brother, I might live for another year." Let me tell you this once again. Death is sure. Life is short and death is sure. Sin is a curse that entered into this world, and there's only one man that has a cure. And his name is Jesus.
Amen.
Life is short and death is sure. Sin is a curse and Jesus is the cure. There's no other cure in this world to cure your sin rather than Jesus Christ. He shed down his blood for the mankind to atone for your sins. All you need to do is open up your heart, believe that he died for your sins, accept that you are a sinner, and let him enter into your heart, and thou shalt be saved. Church, I hope and I do pray that you have Christ in your heart today. Because if not, as I have said a while ago, place of hell is sure and real. You may not believe in a place called hell, but the Bible says there is a place called hell where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Church, I hope and I do pray this morning that you have been blessed. And Pastor Mahan, thank you so much for this wonderful privilege to come up over here and share the Word of God to you all. And it was a blessing and a privilege and an honor to preach the Word of God to you all. Church, Faith Baptist Church, Pastor Mahan, thank you so much and may the Lord bless you all.